This sermon on Ephesians 5:21-33 was recorded at our Robina congregation on Sunday, March 24, 2019. It's titled One Love. For more information on Salt Church, visit us online at www.salt.church.
The mystery has been revealed. All things submit to Jesus. He is the head of all things. The mystery's been revealed. All things submit to Jesus. He is the head of all things. Look, I'm really sorry, friends, but I don't want to preach on this passage this morning. I don't want to do it. I don't want to give this talk. I know we're working our way through Ephesians. I know this is the section that we're now up to, but I just don't want to do this today. I don't want to talk about marriage, so I'm going to talk about something else. I don't want to talk about marriage because the subject hurts too much. 4 years ago in 2015, there were 113,595 registered marriages in Australia. In the same year, 2015, there were 48,517 divorces. Conservative estimates are now one in three, as high as one in two Australian marriages end in divorce. Currently, 1.5 million Australians are either divorced or separated, with marriage breakdowns costing Australia over $6 billion per year. Now, all of those statistics represent people, and all of those statistics, some of those statistics affect some of you here this morning. See, I don't want to talk about marriage today because it hurts too much. Broken relationships hurt too much, don't they? And some of you are hurting very much. Because it's not just marriage that separates, not just divorce that separates marriages, is it? Death separates marriages too. And some of you know how much that still hurts. You promised until death, and that's exactly what happened. That's why I don't want to talk about marriage today, so I'm going to talk about something else. I don't want to talk about marriage today because it's too contentious. Discussions about redefinitions have led to demands to rename and deregister. Slippery slope arguments and petitions and plebiscites, safe schools and special purpose persons days, a divided parliament that divided a nation over an institution that's meant to build communities and families, not break them. Rainbow flags and commercialism all in the name of equality. I can't even watch Channel 10 without being indoctrinated. Marriage. The homosexuals want it, but the heterosexuals don't. So I don't want to talk about marriage today because it's far too contentious. So I'm going to talk about something else. I don't want to talk about marriage today because it's out of control. Weddings in this country are ridiculous. They have seriously gotten out of hand. The average cost of a wedding in Australia is now $65,000, and that doesn't even include the honeymoon. The fairy tale idea that there's someone out there just for me, or that I desire to be a princess, fuels a $2 billion a year industry, not to mention TV shows like The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Married at First Sight, Farmer Wants a Wife but Gets an AVO. The idea that you need to be married before you can be complete and happy is total nonsense. Let's just think about it together for a moment. We talk about people in terms of married and unmarried, don't we? But really we should be talking in categories of single and unsingle. We all start life as single. Half of us will become single again at some point. There's nothing wrong with being single. The unsingle people, they're the ones that are unusual. You should look out for them. And the pressure that single people feel to be paired up is just ridiculous. Listen up, you amateur matchmakers. It's unnecessary and unhelpful. It's more than okay to be single. There you go, you heard it here first. Actually, it's really good to be single. It's good to remain single. It says so in the Bible. So I don't want to talk about marriage today because it's out of order. And maybe when you think about marriage, for all the reasons that I've just mentioned, that marriage hurts too much and it's too contentious and it's out of control, then maybe you won't want me to talk about marriage either. You don't really like the idea of wanting to hear about it. Maybe you're just a little bit over all of it too, all of this talk about marriage. And so am I. So let's not talk about it. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about Ephesians 5. Because although you think this passage is about marriage, I think it's really about something else. This talk on marriage isn't really about marriage. This talk on marriage is really about something else. You see, the mystery's been revealed. All things submit to Jesus. He is the head of all things. So that's what I want this talk to really be about. It's really about something else. It's about all things, all the things that submit to Jesus. So no matter how hurt you are by marriage, no matter how hurt you are by being in or being out of marriage, no matter if you're single or unsingle, no matter if they changed the laws and redefined a definition, this passage about marriage is really about something else. It's actually about everything else because it's God's plan for everything. God's got a plan for everything. See it again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, the words here on the screen behind me. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word put there in verse 22, we've seen it before, in verse 22, is really the word for submission. God put all things in submission to Jesus. Jesus is the head of all things for the church. Everything in submission to Jesus. All things are subordinate, subject to him. Jesus is the head of everything. All things are subject to Christ. So you see, this isn't just a talk about marriage. It's really a talk about everything. Of course, everything, all things in heaven and on earth, obviously includes marriage too, doesn't it? But it's not really a passage that's just about marriage. It's actually about something else. It's really about Jesus and what it means for us to put everything in our lives into submission under him, into unity with God's plan and the purposes for all things, under the rule of the Lord of all things. So if all things are in submission to Jesus, if that's God's plan for everything, then it makes sense, doesn't it, that everything now conforms with this plan. So we need to be in submission as well. Everyone in submission, because everything is in submission, verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. God's bringing all things to unity in Jesus. We're being made one in him. We submit to one another because everything submits to him as Lord. Jesus is head of all things, so everything is put under his feet. That's God's plan for everything. That's God's plan for all things. All things in submission to the Lord Jesus include our relationships and our rights. When it comes to Jesus, when it comes to marriage, there's no such thing as marriage equality. There is a very clear pecking order in the new creation. We submit out of reverence for Christ, which more literally means in fear of Jesus. Submit to one another out of fear for who Jesus is. Be intimidated because of Jesus. So who is Jesus? Well, he's the head of all things. Everything is in submission to him. He's the boss. Everything's under his feet. Everything beneath his rule. Jesus has authority over all things, everything, everyone, everywhere. But this is where this passage starts to get a little bit tricky because we start thinking that it's all about marriage, don't we? But I'm telling you that it's not just about marriage. It's about Jesus being the head of all things. Chapter 5, verse 22, see it with me. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husband. Wives don't submit to all husbands. Women aren't subordinate to men. That's not what the Bible says. See it there. Wives are to submit to their own husband. Submit to your own husband because Everything submits to Jesus. You see, this isn't a talk about marriage. It's not just a talk about marriage anyway, because marriage is being used here as a metaphor. It's really about Christ and his church. Jesus is the head over everything for the church. See it again, chapter 1, verse 22, the words here on the screen. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus is the head. The church is his body, everything placed under his feet. You see, the idea that the church is the body is all over Ephesians. Let's see chapter 3, verse 6 again on the screen. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. God creates a new man out of the two. That's the mystery of the gospel, isn't it? A new creation in Christ. No longer two, but one. Members of one body in Christ Jesus share us together in his promises. Or look again at chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's why we should make every effort to be united, all things as one under Christ. We are one body called to one hope in one Lord. Jesus is over, through and in all things. All things are in submission under his feet. See it there, chapter 4, verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The church is one body. See it there. We're all connected together. We belong to him, and so we belong to one another. Growing and speaking the truth in love. Because Jesus is the head of the body, Christ is the head of the church. See this idea again, chapter 4, verse 22. Put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. We're a new creation, created now to be like God, made new in our attitudes, new in ourselves. So it's out with the old man, in with the new. We're no longer what we used to be. We're a new creation. We're all members of the one body, Jesus as our head. So just as the church submits to Jesus, because everything submits to Jesus, just as the body submits to the head, Paul says wives are to submit to their own husbands. But when we read this passage, we think that it's just about marriage. But it's not just about marriage, is it? It's about everything being put into submission under the feet of Jesus. So you shouldn't submit to your husband in fear of him. Wives submit to their husbands because of who Jesus is. Everything's in submission to Jesus. That's God's plan for everything. Not everything in submission to your husband. All things are not in submission to him. I often misplace my car keys and my sunglasses. Children's bedtime at our place is proof that I have no control over anything. Your husband isn't the Lord of all things, even if he says that he is. Jesus is. So you don't need to fear him. You shouldn't be living in fear of him. It's not okay to live in fear of the one who promised to love you. Please don't live in fear of him any longer. The husband is the head and the wife is the body, like Jesus is the head and the church is his body. See, the mystery's been revealed. All things submit to Jesus. He's the head of all things. So because Jesus is the head of all things, because all things are in submission to Jesus, Jesus rules over his body with love, just like a husband loves his wife. Look there at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. But again, you see, our problem is that we think this passage is about marriage, but it's really about all that Jesus does, about his love for us. Husbands don't die for their wives. Husbands don't make their wives holy. Husbands don't present their wives without blemish. How are they even meant to do that? I don't even know how to pack the dishwasher properly. So this isn't really about what husbands do, or more accurately, what they don't do. Am I right, ladies? It's really about what Jesus has done for us. Jesus is the head, we're his body. Jesus, our husband, the church, his bride, because Jesus loves the church this way. Husbands love their brides this way too. Verse 28, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Jesus loves the church. Jesus loves the church. Husbands love their wives. The head loves the body. Husbands, the current physical condition of your body is not an accurate indicator of your love for your wife, although it potentially could be, depending on how self-absorbed you really are about it. This passage isn't saying love your wife's body either. It's saying love your wife. You see, the point here is simple enough. It's not meant to be complicated, impossible, or unattainable. Husbands love their wives, not just as themselves. Husbands put the needs of their wives ahead of their own. Wives, God has put all things into submission to Jesus. Husbands, Jesus loves his body. He's one with the church. And that's the practical take-home message for you today if you're married. If you are married, here is your homework, verse 33. Let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. But you see, this talk isn't really just about marriage. It's a talk about Jesus' love for his church, how all things are being brought into submission to him. But before we crack this mystery together, let me make the point for you one more time. This passage isn't just about marriage. It's about Jesus and his relationship with his people. And the Lord, about the Lord and his church, about the husband and his bride. You got the passage there. See all those repetitions of these words for me? Can you see it there? Words like for, as, just as, in the same way. You see those words? They're all making the same point that I'm trying to make, and that is that this passage isn't just about marriage. It's really about everything, God's plan for everything in the new creation. So whether you're married or unmarried, single or unsingle, divorced, widowed, engaged, separated, or it's complicated, thanks Facebook, whatever your status is here this morning, this passage profoundly affects all of us. All of your relationships, failures and hurt. All of your contentions and conflicts. All of your experiences of love and loss. All of those things that are out of control and unhelpful. See it now, are all being brought into submission to Jesus because he's the head of everything. Because friends, the mystery here isn't marriage. The mystery here is the gospel. The mystery of the gospel made known to Paul, the mystery that has now been revealed. So are you ready? You ready to marvel at the gospel again this morning? Here it is. Don't miss it. Jesus has become one with his people. Verse 31, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. See, this isn't just about marriage. It's about God's plan for everything. The new creation now fulfilling God's plans, which were from the very beginning. It's a direct quote from Genesis 2:24, isn't it? About life in Eden before the fall of sin and death, before there were things like separation and divorce, redefinitions, human rights and plebiscites. But in the new creation, it's not a husband and a wife that are being joined together, is it? But Jesus, who becomes one with his people. God now creates something new. His purpose is to create in himself one new humanity, one flesh with Christ, no longer two, but one. You see, your deepest longings for relationship and intimacy are found and fulfilled by having companionship with the living God. His plans and purposes from the very beginning are now brought to fulfillment in the person and work of Jesus. Jesus is the suitable helper that we've all been longing and looking for. Paul says this is profound stuff, but if you get past all the profundity, like a bride on her wedding day, it's breathtakingly beautiful. Here, let me show you how. You see, all of those unsuitable suitors that we thought might complete us now find our perfect fit in Jesus. All the messiness of our broken relationships that have been punctuated with pain and shame and sorrow and guilt and remorse and even death, all that was out of control and still is in many relationships, desires and lust and greed and immorality, are now being brought into perfect submission under the feet of Jesus. Washed clean by his word, presented without stain or blemish or any such thing. All of the relational pain and separation that you've experienced in your life with others, see it now, made holy by the one who makes us one with Christ. Deepest longings for intimacy and connection are fulfilled through the one who gave himself for us. I'm really sorry I didn't want to talk about marriage today. I wanted to talk about something so much better. All things submit to Jesus, because he is the head of all things. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we live in a world that is broken. Conflict and strife and trouble and tension mark our days. Not just on a global scale, not just on the news, but in our own lives as well. Things aren't as they should be. Many of us have made big mistakes. Many of us have gone looking for love all the wrong places. Many of us have sought to bring an end to our loneliness by doing silly things. And yet we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are bringing all of those silly things, as well as all the good things, under your feet. All things being brought into submission to you. Heavenly Father, only you know the ache of each one of us here this morning, whether we are single, by choice, or through our actions, or whether we're married and still lonely and alone. Only you can heal us. Only you can bring us into submission. And we ask that you would do that. Help us to delight in who you've made us and who you are making us to be in the new creation. We pray, our great God, that we might know the fullness of your forgiveness and how you are redeeming us and shaping us and fitting us for the new heaven and earth. Please be all that we need. Please let us bring all of those needs before you. As we sit here, some of us in brokenness, we thank you that you heal and forgive. We pray, our great God, that by the forgiveness that you give us, by who you are shaping us to be, that we might be such people that reflect your glory and love to a world that is still broken. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.